I sure feel in need of your prayers today as I stand before you. And I'm so thankful that I know you're praying people and you have prayed for me. And I believe that you'll continue to as I stand before you. I'm thankful that the Lord has brought us to his banqueting house. And I believe his banner over us is love. And I'm so thankful to be able to talk about a God who is love and a God who has an eternal love and does continue to love his people and will never cease. None of us will ever be separated from that love. The passage that's on my mind today, I appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered again. I ask you to continue to pray for me. It's found over in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings. If you have your Bibles, can turn with me. I'd like to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 4 and read an account that occurred in the days of the prophet Elisha. And if you remember, the prophet Elijah came before the prophet Elisha, and Elisha followed the prophet Elijah. And a double portion of the spirit of Elijah fell upon Elisha. He was a great, great prophet in the times of the Old Testament. And this account is about the account of a Shunammite woman and how the Lord dealt with her in the Old Testament. And it's certainly one that we can learn a great deal from if the Lord will bless us. When you're reading the Old Testament, remember that the things that are written there were written for our learning. And there were many things that occurred in the Old Testament times. God moved in the olden days just like he's moving today. He's active in the lives of his people. The things that were written in the Bible were written for our learning. They're things that God picked out of the events that occurred in time. We read about the things that could have been written about Jesus. And the Bible says that if all the things that could have been written were written, the books would not have held, the world would not have been able to hold all that the books that could be written. And when you think about the work of Almighty God, even from the very beginning, I mean, we've got a God that's so great and so wonderful, we can't begin to talk about all that he's done for us, but these were those things that were done, that were recorded, that we might have and be able to talk about today. Isn't it a great blessing to have these things pinned down for us and kept for us so that we can turn to them and find what we need? I pray the Lord will give us what we need today from this passage. And you pray for me. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he called, and he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said unto her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. And say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before him and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warmed. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming to him, and unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. What a beautiful account left in God's word of a little child of God and how the Lord dealt with her. Much we can learn from this. Here was a little woman that obviously loved the Lord. And we know that she loved the Lord because she loved the Lord's people. There is a love that God gives His children for others of God's children. There is a love you have for the truth. Yesterday we tried to talk a little bit about the love of God and how that love comes from God, how that God is love. How that love is not in us. Love is not part of us. Love is not coming out of the works of the flesh. If you have agape love, which is the love that God calls charity in 1 Corinthians 13, that is a fruit of the Spirit, and that is the work of God. And that is an evidence that you belong to Him and an evidence of His work in your life. And we can see in this little woman a love that she had for Elisha so much that the man of God, she just saw him coming and saw what he was doing. And from the evidence of his life, she saw that he was a man of God. She saw, it sounded like he was letting his light shine, doesn't it? Sound like he was doing what God would have him to do. The prophet Elisha was a wonderful prophet that I encourage you to read a lot about. Remember, Elisha was the one when Naaman the leper came to him, and Elisha was healing Naaman the leper. Elisha didn't come out of his house. He just sent his servants out to tell Naaman what he needed to do. And he told him, you go dip in the River Jordan seven times, and when you do that, you'll be made whole. And Naaman, because he hadn't been shown proper respect, you know, that's man in his nature, isn't it? He hadn't been shown proper respect. He didn't want to do what Elisha had told him. And he said, well, shouldn't he have come out of his house and talked to me? Shouldn't he have come out and said it? I thought what he would do is come out and do what I expected him to do, was come lay his hands on me, and then that's the way I would be healed. But Elisha didn't even come out of his house. Naaman had all this stuff that he'd have brought for Elisha, that he was going to pay Elisha and give to Elisha for the healing that he was supposed to get. But here he got so mad and so upset he was going to go away without any healing. And his servant said, well, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? He said, all he said was do go dip in Jordan seven times. And I'll tell you what, old Naaman did what the Lord told him to do. And when he did, the first time he went down, he came up just as much a leper as the second time. The second time, just as much a leper as the third time. The third time, just as much a leper. The fourth time, just as much a leper. The fifth time, still a leper. Six times, still a leper. Thought maybe I'm going to give up here. This ain't working. Not getting any better. The seventh time, according to the promise of the man of God, which, by the way, the man of God wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't given to him by Almighty God. According to the word of God, on the seventh time, Naaman was healed. And Naaman then said, let me give you something for this. Let me pay for this. And Elisha said, no, I won't have a thing you got. But Gehazi, remember Gehazi, I'm getting off track, I'm on the other story. But Gehazi, remember Gehazi? Gehazi said, well, he's got a whole lot of stuff there. I can get me some of that stuff. And when he got some of that stuff, he went and did that. The leprosy that was upon Naaman fell upon Gehazi. Just tells us how much the stuff of this world can get in our way. And loving it. I'll tell you what today. If you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. And if you love the Lord, He loved you. He also gave you a love for others of His children. He came and brought us. He had brought us today into the banquet house. I believe today we're at the banquet house. I believe this is a place we come to get fed. You know, when I go to Golden Corral, which is a dangerous thing for me to do when I'm trying to diet, because there's all kinds of stuff out there for me to eat and too many things for me to choose from. If I go there with a real good appetite, I'm not going there not to eat. I'm going there to fill my plate and to load up on all the good stuff that's there. And I hope you've come today to this church, not like it's Golden Corral, but like it's a banqueting house, because indeed it is filled with spiritual things that you and I need to help us in this world. And I'll tell you, God's word is a banqueting house. God's house is a banqueting house. This, and He has brought, and if we're here, we didn't get here because we made a good decision along the way, or we came to it. We're here because there was a God who loved us even in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And His love, He foreknew us in that love. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And He loved us then. And then in time He called us, and He called us and we're drawn with cords of love. And because He's loved us, He's done that wonderful work in us, and He's given us a love for Him. Today you love Him. And I want you to know He loves you. I want every one of God's little children to know that God is on your side, that God is your friend, that God is your friend not because you earned it, not because you merited it. We were His enemies, but while we were yet His enemies, He loved us, and He proved that love so much that He sent His only begotten Son. The Father loved us that much. And the Son loved us so much that He gave His life and He came. The Bible says He spared not His own Son. And if He spared not His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us what? All things. That is that which we stand in need of. And this little woman had needs. She wasn't begging for them or asking for them, but God knew she had them. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem that there was a great woman. She had already been blessed of the Lord. This word great doesn't mean that she was just a big woman. It means that she was a woman of wealth, a woman of prosperity, a woman of means. God had blessed her with some things that could be helpful and beneficial to others. And guess what she did with what God had given her? She was using it. She was giving it away. She was doing things for others. Elisha didn't come and say, would you set me up a place to sleep, and would you give me a place to read, and would you give me these things? But she saw Elijah in the way, and out of her heart that God had moved in her heart, she wanted to do something for the prophet, the man of God. It says she constrained him to eat bread. Sounds like an old Baptist, doesn't it? You come to the house and the first thing, I know that's what my grandmama used to do. Every time I'd go to her house, she had to eat something. You know why she always wanted me to eat something? Because she loved me. Come on, eat something. I love you. I think of that love that we have for our family. I see my grandchildren back there, and I love every one of them. I see my son. I love him so much. I'd do anything I could for him. I see my daughter, those that have been married into the family, just a great, great blessing that God has given us, a love for one another and family ties. And then I see the family of God that is gathered here today. There's a family of God, the Bible says, that's named of Him, not only on earth, but in heaven. And I think of the many of God's little children that I've had fellowship and contact with that have been those that I love. And those that have meant so much to me and have been a great blessing in my life. And my life has been filled with His love that He's given to me and shown unto me and allowed me to have. And oh, I wouldn't even appreciate it or known anything about it had He not first worked in me that which I didn't have in my own nature. And that's a love for Him and a love for His children. And the Apostle Paul there in the Ephesian letter says, I pray for you. I pray for all of the family of God, both in heaven and in earth. I pray for all of them that are named by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that they be strong and is in the faith, and that they would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. I'm telling you, in the midst of a storm, the love of God will sustain you and hold you. In the midst of a storm, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do and what He has done will hold you up. And brethren, that principle has been worked in us. We didn't get it by reaching out and getting it. He put it in you, and now He's telling us to lay hold onto those things and use those things as we face life and the troubles that come just because you're breathing air. As sure as you live, man that's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. But be a good cheer. I want you to be a good cheer. This little woman said, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. He's being fed by this little sister. And she said unto her husband, she's got a dear husband, and no doubt she loves him. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. Sounds kind of comfortable, doesn't it? Sounds like a good place. I wonder how many times she would enter there with her husband and they would hear from the voice of the man of God the things that God had given him, the things that God had given him to feed them. As a matter of fact, when it was time for her to go see the man of God, her husband, remember what he said? He said, it's not Sunday. You know, wonder why he said it's not Sunday. He said it's not the new moon. Wonder why he said it's not the new moon. Because on the new moon and on Sunday, it was church time. It was time to go as it was in that day and hear from the prophet and hear from what the Lord had to say and to learn and to feed at his table. She enjoyed the banqueting house, didn't she? And that's what she was desirous of. And here she had a little place for him. And there was a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick that he might see, and a stool and a table. And it shall be when he cometh into us that he shall turn in thither. And I know her husband had to love the Lord also. Or, you know, you might not understand what's going on here. Here's her husband. And here's the prophet. This wasn't about anything that was not just the way it ought to be. Listen, her husband loved the man of God as well. And he said, let's do this. They built for him a little place to stay. When he came in, that was his room. Brother Jamie tickles me because we got a room at the house we call Brother Jamie's room. When we have other preachers there, he said, they didn't stay in my room, did they? You know, you'll probably hear this somewhere along the line. He said, he didn't stay in my room, did he? I said, yeah, he stayed in your room. Oh, he didn't. He didn't stay in my room. It was his room. I'll tell you, isn't it wonderful to have brethren's song when we sing a song that was their song? I know some Sister Betty songs and some Sister Priest songs, and today we sang one of Brother Clifton's songs. My mind is filled with those sweet times of fellowship. You're talking about, some people say, precious memories is maybe a song we ought not sing. It isn't a song we ought to sing if we're thinking about the things of this world, but I'm telling you, when you're thinking about the things of God, my life is filled, it's not yours, with precious memories of God's work. And what he's done in my life, and how that he supplied for me those things that I would have never had it not been for him. And this little sister was moved by the grace of God to supply for this prophet that which was blessing to the prophet, but that which was also going to be a blessing for her. But notice this, she didn't do it to get the blessing. She just did it. But God in turn blessed her in doing it. Isn't that the way it works? The world is filled with the gospel that if you'll do this and this for God, he'll bless you. I want you to know God blesses you. We ought to be doing those things, and in doing what he's told us to do, you'll find a blessing in it. You'll find it each and every time. It fell on a day when he came hither. He turned into the chamber and lay there. And you know, I can imagine how he felt. He said, boy, it's good to be here. It's a good place to be. He's at the little place that she's provided for him. And he's resting there. And he's thinking, what in the world could I do for her? She's done this for me. What can I do for her? Isn't it wonderful to think about? Oh, I'll tell you, here's a beautiful picture. When it comes time to serve Jesus, is it about serving him so that he'll do something for us? Or is it about realizing how much that he's done for us, and therefore in gratitude to him, I want to say, oh dear Lord, what can I do? Jesus paid it all to him. Lord, help me live better, not in order to get to be thy child, but because of what you've done for me. Help me believe, help me trust, help me depend upon thee more. Help me see how much you have forgiven me. And in turn, Lord, let me treat others in a way, in a manner that's pleasing in thy sight, and according to thy word, as you have treated me, let me treat them as much as I can. Now, can we do that? No, but we sure ought to be about it. That's what he said, we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, and thy neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said in one place, dear little children, walk in love. Brethren, just as sure as the Lord's loved us, we're duty-bound to love one another. And I'll tell you, that make you happy. There's great blessings found in loving God's children. It says, and when he came, it says, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he called to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. That means thou have been full of care. You've taken care of me. Oh, how many could we say that to? You've taken care of me. He says, what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Which, in another word, she's saying, the Lord has been so good to me already, I don't need a thing. I am content with what God has given me. I am content with his blessings to me. You know how blessed you are today if you're content with what the Lord has given you? If you're content with the home the Lord has given you, if you're content with the family the Lord has given you, if you're content with the blessings the Lord has given you, if you can just today for a moment think about all the goodness. I'm not saying we only at times want things to be different and want things or desire things, but let us remember this. God has been so good to us. If we got what we deserve, what a shape would we be in? And God's grace has been so good to us. May we be able to say with this woman, I dwell among my own people. In other words, I am satisfied. And he said this, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. In other words, it seems according to nature that this is going to be impossible. It's not going to work. It's a situation. She doesn't have a child. Has she asked for a child? No, she says, I'm fine. I'm fine right where I am, God. I'm fine with what you've already done. I'm fine with every blessing you've already poured on me. I'm thankful for all that I have. And I'm settled with that. But no doubt, there was something that she did desire that was in her heart that God knew and God is able to supply. And here, in the mouth of this prophet, even his servant, the servant is given the wisdom to know that she has no child. And the prophet says, he says this to her, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. In other words, I'm happy about that, but don't. No, please, don't play with me. Don't go. Don't play with me, God. Don't play with me. Don't play with me. She said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. It's that would be too good to be true. Is that possible? Is that true? And the woman conceived. Oh, how did that happen? Her husband's old. I want you to know God doesn't have any problem with an old husband. He doesn't have any trouble with that. Things aren't done like they ought to be. God doesn't have any trouble with that. With man, it's impossible. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And there this one was looking, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, and that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. That means she had that little one right on time, just right at the time that God sent it. And when the child was grown, she had been blessed to have this child. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And so he's out with his fathers working in the field to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. He's fallen, hurt his head. And he said to the lad, to a lad that was there with him, carry him to his mother. In other words, he's hurt, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Can you imagine that little sister there? This is a real account of something that really took place. That little sister had been given this child. This child has grown up. How much love do you think this child had? How much love had she experienced with that child? How many blessings had she had? I believe she understood something, though, that every day God had given her was a day that God had blessed her with. That she had had that by His grace. And that the God who had loved her up to this point was not going to leave her now. That which was promised by the man of God had come from the voice of God. And the promises of God you can count on. Not that you're going to always get everything that you want. But I'm telling you, everything that you ever need that God has supplied unto you, He will take care of. God will take care of His people. And she operating in faith. There he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Just think of all the places. She said, I'm going to take him
to the man of God. Somebody said, well, what can that preacher do? This was not just a preacher. This was a prophet sent from God. This was the way that she communicated with God in that day and time. It was her way of praying to God. It was a way of seeking His face and His direction. She went to Him. She said, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to Him because He's been good to me and He's never left me. He's never going to forsake me, and He's promised that. And if I look to Him, I'll find what I need here, and it's going to be all right. She didn't know what was going to happen, but she knew it was going to be all right. And she says that. And she went up and laid Him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. In other words, she said, I'm going to see Elisha, and then I'm going to return. She didn't say that our son is dead. Can you imagine the faith that she had? She didn't say, oh, everything's bad. She didn't complain. You don't hear any of that. She had faith to look to the Lord and leave it in the Lord's hands. And she was going to the man of God, which was her way of going to the Lord. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Listen, Elijah didn't even know. The father didn't even know why she was going. He never knew the child's dead. He knew he'd been hit in the head, and he knew he'd gone to his mother, but he didn't know she was dead. He said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And listen to her words. And she said, it shall be well. It is well with my soul. Your child's dead. It shall be well. I don't know how it's going to work out. It shall be well. I don't know what we're going to face. It shall be well. Because the God who loved me yesterday loves me today and will love me forever. And there will be nothing that ever happens or occurs in my life that He is not in control of. And therefore, He'll give me the strength to go through it if indeed it's a suffering. And if it's something I truly need, He will bless me with it. It's about saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And leaving it in God's hands. It is what we've seen our little brothers and sisters sing in the midst of heartache and trouble. It's well with my soul. It is well. It is well. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. That's where I was talking about. He says, why are you going to see him now? It's not church time. It's not time for him to prophesy to us. She knew she needed him. Aren't you glad we've got a God that you don't just have to wait till Sunday to go talk to, or you don't have to wait till a certain time or a certain place, but we can go to him when we need him. He is ever present with us. He's nowhere absent, and right now where we are. Listen, I don't know what's coming and what our loved ones are going through, but I know our God knows all about it. And when we go to Him, we can leave the throne of grace with a peace in our heart and a peace in our soul, saying it'll be all right because it's in God's hands. Somebody says, well, what if someone dies? Listen, for a little child of grace, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Do you really believe that? Oh, Lord, help me to believe that and understand that. So that whether we live or whether we die, we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you suppose for a moment Job didn't have any feeling for his family? When they came and said, Job, your family's gone. They're all gone. You've lost this and you've lost that. And Job says, the Lord give it. And the Lord taketh away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. That didn't mean he was happy about everything that happened, but he was willing to turn. And how was he willing to do that? Was it something he learned on his own? No, he used the God-given faith God had given him. And he used the God-given love that God had given him. And he understood from that, God loves me. That principle was always there, though the exercise of it sometimes gets weak. Hear me. Sometimes we're not exercising the faith. The faith is always there. You know where your peace is today? Your peace is in your heart. Because Jesus Christ dwells in your heart and He is our peace. And when I look to Him, He gives me faith for the moment and for the trouble. When I look to Him, He gives me love that I ought to have and need. When I look to Him, He gives me the strength for the storm, so much so I could stand just like this little woman. I don't know how. I know a heart would have had to be broken. I know when she fell at His feet, He saw, the man of God saw what pain she was feeling. But I'm telling you what came out of her words. Not one complaint about God or what He had done for her, but rather giving praise. She says, "It's all right." And she repeats it here in a minute, just in case we didn't get the message the first time. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward." Like I told Brother Bobby, let's just get there. Except here she said, "Slack not the riding for me, except I bid thee." In other words, don't slow up unless I tell you to slow up. In other words, I want to get there. I need to get there. Oh, brethren, the troubles and the problems of our life, do they not drive us to the foot of the cross? Do they not cause us to want to get to the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and lay our petitions before Him? Do they not cause us to want to pray and look to Him? And here the desire was, she said, "Drive, servant." And it wasn't, I'm sure it wasn't a smooth ride like we had yesterday, but it was she said, "I just keep going." And she said, "Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Do you believe Elisha loved her? I do. Do you believe she loved Elisha? I do. You know why? Because there was a God who loved Elisha, and there was a God who loved her. And they had a fellowship one with another. And today, as we meet, brethren, we're praying for one another. We're praying for those that we love. And the reason we have them is because God first loved us, and that shows an evidence. How much did He love us? He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And because of that, we're to love one another. But let's love one another in faith, believing that God is able to do those things that we ask Him to do. He's exceedingly able to do above whatever we can ask or think. And we can be believing that today. Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. In other words, here she comes, and He said, "You go meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee?" Listen. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child, with the child? And listen to her answer. She says, "It's well. It's well." She answered in such a way that he didn't even know anything was wrong until she fell down at his feet with such a burdened heart. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within me. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? And did I not say, do not deceive me? In other words, Lord, I'm trusting, man of God. Really, she's talking to the Lord. She's talking to the God of heaven. She's talking to the prophet that God had given. And she says, "Did I not desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" In other words, I'm leaning on your promises. Listen, I don't know what's happening here, Lord, but I'm leaning on your promises. I don't know why this trouble's come, but I'm leaning on your promises. I'm trusting in thee. I'm exercising the God-given faith that you have given me, and I'm trusting in thee. Do not deceive me. And he said to Gehazi, "Gird up the..." And she was expressing that when she said, "It's well. It is well." And he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hands, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute them, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." And as the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. She's clinging to that which the Lord had given her through her faith and what the Lord had blessed her with. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And Gehazi comes back and says, "This child has not waked up." Well, I'll tell you what, there's a love that Elisha had, and there was a belief and a faith that Elisha had in the Lord that wasn't going to just stop him right at that. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and I don't understand all about this, so I'm not going to try to explain the sneezing. I'm not going to try to explain all that took place. I just know God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And here He worked things in a way we would have never thought He would have worked it out. He could have done it any way He wanted to do it, could He not? But He did it His way. And I'm telling you, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them, and he prayed unto the Lord. That's where you say, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Well, you go in like Elisha, and you shut the door, and you pray unto the Lord, and you leave it in the Lord's hands. And then as the Lord moved him, that's what he did it. That's why he did it, because God moved him to do it. He went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. Here he is. And he went up and he stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed. He didn't sneeze once. He didn't sneeze twice. He sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come into him, he said, take up thy son. Can you imagine what a happy time that is? Take up thy son. I'll tell you what, when we come to church, it ought to be a happy time. Because we're trusting and leaning upon the Lord. And when we see the deliverance that come, it's a happy time. Listen, deliverance is coming. Sometimes it doesn't come, even in this world. Sometimes it comes after this life is over. But deliverance is coming. Know this, we have deliverance in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us. And it says, and he called Gehazi, he goes on and said, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And I want every one of you to know today that I'm not lifting Elisha up at all and saying it's his power. By his power he did anything. Listen, the only power that Elisha the prophet had, or Elijah the prophet had, or any of the Old Testament saints, or any of the apostles, or any minister today, or any little child of God has, is that which is given to us by Almighty God. And the praise and the honor belongs to the Lord. I'll tell you, how great love did he love us with? With an eternal, everlasting love. The love that caused, he foreknew us, he predestinated us, he calls us, he justified us, and he will glorify us. And you and I, and in the midst of the most terrible troubles in life, as we trust in him, can, when the word comes, is it well? Every one of us can sing, it is well with my soul. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I appreciate your attention.
Mess, brother.
Good mess.